Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now. Something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. Same number is good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Hope you guys had a wonderful Resurrection Day yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You too, yes.
Yeah,
great.
It was. I went to a church service and got there, and just as I was getting there, they started playing my favorite song, He's Alive,
he's
by
alive.
Don Francisco, and thought, yes, this is just
this is just
fantastic. I think that's just the best Easter song that's ever been written.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
Richard, you always performed it so well, or did it? You know, I hate that word performed. You just sang it with a heart that is just beyond compare.
Thanks.
We always enjoyed that when you did that. And we've ended a lot of our seminars with that particular song.
Yeah.
Because that is the good news. Jesus Christ is alive. And the story of the resurrection just didn't end that first Sunday. For the next 40 days, he appeared to 500 people or so. He appeared to the disciples. He appeared, of course, to the women and that came to anoint his body. Mm-hmm. And he appeared to 500 other people in a 40-day period. And that's the proof that we have that Jesus is alive today. Then he ascended on that 40th day. And then 10 days later on Pentecost, he gave the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so that's the next big event on the Christian calendar, Pentecost, the giving of God's Spirit, the fact when the living Christ came to live inside of man. And that's that whole picture, and we'll certainly be talking about that as that draws near. But it's just such a powerful story. It is the story. It's the story of hope. You know, all over the world, people are looking for hope, and there's nowhere to find it in this world. We can conjure up some things that make us feel hopeful, but there's nothing really underneath to give us real solid hope. Until we look at Christ, the fact that he was raised from the dead, that's our living hope, Jesus Christ himself. And that's what's to bring us together as people. You know, you look out there in the world, there's all kinds of divisions out there in the world. Racism is the big word today, and everybody pulls, quote, the race card when things happen. Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only message that can just pound that just right out of existence.
Yes.
And it starts in the heart. We see that in how God started putting together this thing called the church, the body of Christ. The first people who were members of the body of Christ were Jewish in heritage and background. And then the Samaritans came along, and then the Gentiles came along. And as Paul writes, that dividing wall of hostility was torn down, and the two have become one in Christ, one new man. That's the power of this gospel message. And that's our only hope in this world today of seeing unity. I know there's this push to unify mankind, and we're using worldly means and human means, and it doesn't work. It seems like everything that we tried, the divisions get deeper, and the sides get you know, more clear, and you know, spurs are dug in, and we're not going to come together. So everything that man seems to do drives us further and further apart. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, his story alone, that can pull us together and bring us to where we're arm in arm, heart in heart, in unity, one with another as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I don't know about you guys, but it's always a thrill to my heart to see the number of people that show up on Easter Sunday for the services. Of course, you hadn't seen them since last Easter, but, you know, my pastor took the opportunity not to do a traditional Easter message this year. He did a very evangelistic message, and I think it was an opportunity to reach a lot more ears than normal, so I thought that was a good move on his part.
Well, excellent.
844-322-2742. Plenty of open lines right now. Again, 844-322-2742 is good in the U.S. and in Canada. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And again, thank you for joining us.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to our good friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, happy Resurrection Day.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And I'm so blessed from this ministry and this month's message about reconciliation. And really the beginning of the gospel was that God reconciled us to us, you know, so that we could come to him. And yesterday was just really a special day for me in solitude. I did not get to go to church, but I was in church, if you know what I mean. And I just wanted to share with you and the audience a little, I'm not a poet, but God gave me what I consider a one-liner, and I just thought it was very special and would like to share it so people could kind of think about it and chew on it. And it goes like this: thank you, Jesus, for my mind you have made new, for my eyes that you see through, and for a new heart you speak to.
Well, Brad, and I like that. That's very good, and I love the fact that you bring the mind into it, because, you know, many of the skeptics out there look at Christianity as a mindless faith. We just turn off this thinking machine and just take a wild leap into the dark, hoping that something's going to be there to catch us or someone's going to be there to catch us. But Christianity really is a thinking man's reality, isn't it? Because this gospel message engages the whole being. It saves us spiritually. We're born again of the Spirit of God. Then the Spirit comes to live inside of us. The Spirit begins to teach these minds of ours truth. We see these minds of ours starting to get renewed, to actually begin to think the thoughts that God has about us and about himself. We begin to think like God thinks. And that's just amazing, and that comes from truth. And then we see attitudes change as a result of that, and then we see actions follow suit. And that's what this gospel message is all about. So, Brad, I sure appreciate your good words there. Say it one more time for us.
Thank you, Jesus, for the mind you've made new. That's my mind you've made new. For my eyes that you see through, and for the new heart you speak to.
That's good stuff.
I just want to thank Basic Gospel for being there and giving platform for the voice of Jesus. And if people really think about their mind, we're thinking in our mind, and our minds are going a whole lot more than we go. So if a believer will just sit and understand and be quiet and listen, God will speak to their new mind in order to renew it. And I just appreciate you guys being there.
Well, thank you, Brad. Thanks for your good words today. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, we do. Thanks, good to hear from you, Brad. 844-322-2742. Plenty of time, plenty of open lines. We want to hear from you. Again, 844-322-2742. Moments ago, we had a call from Gary in White Plains, New York, and his question was about the admonition of loving everyone. Said he struggled in that area and would like to know how to do that.
Well, I think we would all like to know how to do that. And quite frankly, it's impossible. It's impossible for us to love others. That's why this Christian life is a mystery, as Paul described it. And it gets down to this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. That Christ living in us becomes the power to love others as he has loved us. So he's the one that works in our hearts in such a way that moves us to act in love toward those that we don't find lovable in and of themselves, and for others to love us in that same
that
way.
That would never be.
Oh, yes, that's right. but it really gets down to the power of God's Spirit in us. you know, back in the Old Testament, you know, it kept pushing the people of Israel to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and strength, and to love others as themselves. And they found those two commands impossible to carry out. And Moses said, under the unction of God's Spirit, that there was going to be a time in which God would circumcise the hearts so that this could be a reality. Mm-hmm. That circumcision has taken place in Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. When this grace hits our hearts, we respond in faith, and our hearts go from unbelieving hearts to believing hearts. That's the new heart that we have. It's a heart that trusts in Jesus, that believes in Jesus. And through that trust, through that faith, through that belief, the reality of God's love starts to set in. It starts to take root. It starts to grow inside of us. And then in time, it starts to spill over into the lives of people. So God himself is the source of this love. And he makes that real in us through the agency of the Holy Spirit. And as we learn to abide, to live in that love, then we're going to see that love flow us. That's how God's designed it. He illustrated it. Jesus illustrated it beautifully for us in the vine and branch illustration. He's the vine, we're branch. And if we will abide in him, we will bear much fruit. What is that fruit? It's the fruit of love. And it's so powerful, it's so transcendent, that it will enable us and empower us to even love our enemies.
Absolutely.
And what we realize when this starts to work is that God hasn't called me to have warm feelings toward everyone. What he's called me to is to love them with the same love I've been given in Christ. God didn't have warm feelings for me. I was a sinner. I was his enemy. But he loved me enough to send Jesus, who drew me to himself. That's the kind of love that he starts putting through us to other people. I may never have a warm feeling for somebody, but that doesn't mean I'll never invite them to Jesus, or that I wouldn't help them if they needed help, because the Spirit is prompting me to do that. If the feelings come, they come. If they don't, you're still loving them because God loved us first.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. Friends, a quick reminder that this Friday we're going to embark on a brand-new study series for, centered on the study guide called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and, of course, based on Bob Christopher's book by the same title. We encourage you to get your copy in advance. You can do that by going to basicgospel.net/teaching. That's a special website that we've created just for this particular purpose, basicgospel.net/teaching. And you can order your copy of the study guide. You can get the sign up for the free notes that accompany each session as they become available. Again, it's all available at basicgospel.net/teaching, and the study begins this Friday, April 1st, and it ain't April Fool's.
That's right. That's right. We're going to get down to some really, I think, practical stuff as far as the grace of God is concerned. And this first lesson, it's really a lesson that could be entitled Surprised by Grace. We're going to take a look at, you know, our first grace experiences. How did we respond to it? How did we know that the grace of God was there? And oftentimes we didn't in the moment. It was only in looking back that we see what God was really doing and what his hand in our lives were all about at that particular time. So we're going to start right there. I think this is going to be a very personal study for those who tune in, who follow along each and every Friday. It will help you really see the story that God has written as far as your life is concerned. There's a great passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and it precedes, you know, one of our signature verses, the fact that Paul had been made competent as a minister of the new covenant, not the old, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And he talks about the fact that the Corinthians were his letters of recommendation. Mm-hmm. And they were that because the Spirit of God had written a story of life on their hearts, in their hearts. And that's what you're going to see through this study, how the Spirit of God has written his story in your heart and is now living that out in your everyday walk with Jesus Christ. That's why this whole realm of grace is so vitally important for us to understand and really start to get some handles on, because that really is what the Christian life is all about. It is simply grace from start to finish.
So again, the new study is Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, starting this Friday. To get your copy in advance, you can go to basicgospel.net/teaching or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Queens and talk with Michael, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Michael.
Hi, gentlemen. God bless you all. I just had a quick question. I mean, I know you were talking about Christ telling people to love their enemies, but what do you do in the case of somebody who's like totally evil, like Hitler or Stalin or Mao or a dictator who needs to be overthrown? I mean, how can we love our enemies if we're dealing with somebody who's totally evil?
Well, Michael, that's a great question. And I think, you know, as you're asking that, I think about what happened yesterday in Pakistan with, you know, some Taliban going in and suicide bombers attacking, targeting Christians celebrating Easter, and mainly women and kids. And you think in your heart of hearts, Lord, when are you going to stop this? When are you going to put an end to this evil? When are you going to bring them to a point of justice? And I think we look at that, and that's what we sense in our hearts, and that's what we want. And from a distance, I think that's how we feel. But in a situation like that, if I'm you know, shoulder to shoulder with someone like that, what is God going to call me to do at that particular moment in time? Well, I think at that particular moment in time, He's going to give me the words to say. He's going to give me the grace to live out what he wants me to live out at that particular moment. So I can entrust myself to Jesus at that particular moment in time and trust the fruit of his life will be evident. So I think we have to look at it in that sense. We so often talk in hypotheticals. You know, what about a Hitler or a Stalin or that sort of thing? Well, from a distance, we're going to despise them, and we're going to say, Lord, bring justice. You know, put an end to the evil. If we're in their presence and, you know, called upon to have some sort of relationship with them, at that moment, all we can do is call on the grace of God. And I think that's where we have to leave it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the key issue. You can't love someone with whom you do not have a relationship, other than in the most general case, you know, the person's a human being, so God loves them too. But you can't have love with someone, you can't let God minister through you to someone with whom you don't have a relationship. And so, you know, it's like Bob said, you can't deal with someone who lives 5,000 miles away and is doing evil things. But if God puts you in relationship with someone like that, then it has to be by grace through faith, because you know that you and I, if we think someone's evil, the last thing we want to do is spend even a minute with them. And so it really is learning to walk by faith in the indwelling Spirit, who is giving you the wisdom at the moment for dealing with a situation.
Does that make sense, Michael?
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. There was, you know, an example of what he's talking about in the Bible. There was an extreme hatred between Jew and Gentile.
Yes.
Back in the days of Jesus, and certainly the hatred the Jew had for the Samaritan had for the Jew, was even more pronounced.
Yes, much more personal.
Than toward the Gentiles. But when God put together the church, He reached out to the Jew first, then to the Samaritan. We see that in Acts chapter 8. And now Samaritans believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and they received the gift of God's Spirit and were added to the body of Christ. Now, Jew and Samaritan were standing side by side, at one time bitter enemies. Well, how were they going to love one another at that point in time? How was that hatred and that prejudice that they had toward one another, how is that going to be removed? Only through the power of God's Spirit.
Yes.
That's the only way that it's going to work. And so that's why we have to entrust ourselves to Jesus Christ and allow His Spirit to work and to call upon His grace in the situation that we're in. Not for hypotheticals, not for all of those things, but for reality. Grace is for reality.
Yes.
It's for what's happening right in front of us.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. I'll make it quick. I'm not exactly sure what Armageddon means, and I'd like to know if that term is in the Bible.
Well, Mary Jo, good question. It is in the Bible. Armageddon, we're not exactly sure of its meaning, other than it could mean Mount Megiddo. So there's actually a little town, there was a town called Megiddo, and you can go and visit that place. It's one of the great archaeological finds in all of the world. It's called Tel Megiddo, and it overlooks the Jezreel Valley, yes, where the Battle of Armageddon would take place.
And you see that that broad open plain. You can understand how so many combatants can come together. It's just enormous.
Yeah, so it really kind of means the Mount of Megiddo is how you would interpret it or, put a meaning to it.
Where is it found in the Bible?
Oh, boy. It's in Revelation. And I didn't look up the chapter, but, yeah, it's talked about in Revelation 17, 18, 19, along there. Hold on. I will get it for you.
Revelation 16:16
is the first place, yeah, and then It talks about it when the rider on the white horse shows up and ends things. It's during that.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Mary Jo. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
And for the folks that go to Israel on the trip this coming February, you'll be able to see that very area.
That's one of the highlights of the trip.
Yeah.
And there's a book called The Source, and the writer, the author of that book, uses that tell as kind of the anchor for the story, to tell the story of the people of Israel. And it's quite fascinating. They've found 21 different levels of civilization at this particular tell.
Wow.
And that's what would happen is, as someone would build a little town, then an army would come in, defeat it, tear down all the buildings. And they didn't have those big caterpillar machines that could come in and move all the debris and level it out. They just built on top. And then the next group would come in and defeat and build on top. And they found 21 different levels of civilization, and it's quite fascinating. And we'll actually go and visit that. And if you would like to go and see Israel through the lens of the New Covenant, I encourage you to go to our website, basicgospel.net /events, and find out all the information. This is a trip for 40 people. We're limiting the number to 40 people. Those spots are filling up fast. So if you want to go and be a part of this trip of a lifetime, we encourage you to go and find out all the information and register quickly. Next week, Abraham Hillel, who will be our tour guide, is going to be with us for a couple of days, and we'll actually have him in studio, one of the most passionate men you will ever meet. And if you're on the fence now, I guarantee you, once you hear him talk, you will get off the fence very quickly and register to be a part of this trip. He is going to make it so fascinating as far as the history of the land, the history of the people of Israel, and then that tied to what we have in Christ in this new covenant. It's just going to be one of the most unique trips to Israel that anyone could participate in. So exciting. Come join us. Be a part of it.
You can find all the information at basicgospel.net. Just click the events menu. That's a drop-down menu. All the information right there. We encourage you to go ahead and get signed up so that we can put that to rest. And we want to remind you also that we're here every day to get the word out. And thanks to so many of you, we're able to do that. That Jesus is alive. He sheds his love and his grace and his life with us. So we encourage your ongoing support of this message and this ministry. So thank you for doing that. We are out of time for this edition. Thanks to Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and to all of those of you who joined us. My name is Bob Davis, saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.